This is going to be Genesis chapter 9, and we're going to talk about starting over after salvation. You see, Noah just got off the ark with his family, and God has given him some instructions about what to do when he gets off the ark. And I'm going to use that as illustrations to show you what you need to do after you have believed the gospel. You see, before Noah was on the ark, before the flood came, men were living just by their conscience. And that didn't work. The thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. So God had to set up some government. And that's why they call this dispensation human government. So God's given some guidelines to go by. He makes a covenant with Noah. But let's get right into it. In Genesis 9:1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So one of the first things you need to do after salvation is be fruitful and multiply. When Noah and his family got off the ark, they would either have to be fruitful and multiply, or humans would go extinct. Having children became doing the work of the Lord. Today, it's not about so much about having physical children. When I say you need to be fruitful and multiply after salvation, I mean spiritual children. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:15, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. When you win someone to the Lord, they become your spiritual child in a sense, and you are starting over in your new life. You need to be fruitful and multiply. Give out the gospel everywhere you go, and God's going to use you to lead someone to the Lord, and they'll be born into the family of God. You'll have been fruitful and multiplied. Next, you're better than an animal, so don't party like one anymore. After you get saved, you're better than an animal. Don't party like one anymore. In Genesis 9:2, it says, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. This seems to be reversed in the tribulation, because in the tribulation, the animals become more beastly. Instead of having the fear of man, they kill men. In Revelation 6:8 it says, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sit on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. So the beasts of the earth are coming after men in the tribulation. But God says here to Noah, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth. He said that to Noah. But then you get to the millennial kingdom later on that happens after the tribulation and second coming, and we will be able to pet any animal we want. It says in Isaiah 11:6, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed, the young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. So you see, in the millennium, you get to pet any animal you want to. And in Genesis 9:3, it says, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. Many people that, you know, don't understand the Bible or don't even believe the Bible, they think that animals are equal to people. This isn't so. God made us very superior to animals. We're all people are superior to animals. God also gave Adam dominion over the animals. You're better than an animal, so you need to quit living and partying like an animal. This world wants to make animals equal to humans. They want to give them rights like we have rights. They care more about a certain type of animal than they would a bum on the street. But the life of one bum on the street is worth more than thousands of animals. He has a soul that's going to spend an eternity in heaven or hell. Animals don't have an eternal soul. You know, people worry more about a certain type of animal going extinct than they do a helpless person on the street. Since the world makes people think they came from animals, they end up acting like an animal. If you feel like you're an animal, then you're going to be your own final authority. Because if you think you came from a monkey and not from God making you, if you don't believe there was a time when God made people, and you think we just evolved over time from an animal, God's not going to be your final authority. You're going to be your own final authority. You're going to do what's right in your own eyes. And you're not going to feel as bad for living like an animal. What do all the songs revolve around today? Songs like Party Like a Rockstar. Party Like an Animal. Let's Party. And so on and so forth. All the songs are about partying. When you are born again, you need to realize that you become a new creature. You can either choose to walk in the flesh like an animal, living for pleasure, self-gratification, preservation, and happiness, or you can walk in the spirit. You're not an animal. You are made superior to the animals. And when you get born again, you become a child of the King. You need to act like one. You need to walk like one. Genesis 9:3, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. This is in the Old Testament. This is under the Noahic covenant. However, it still applies to me today. Today I can eat any meat as long as I can thank the Lord for it. Anybody who says that you have to abstain from meats would be teaching a doctrine of a devil. It says in 1 Timothy 4:1-4, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some should depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat. So you see, that's a doctrine of a devil when someone does that, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. So we are free to eat meat as long as you can thank God for it. Today we aren't under the law. Also, Noah wasn't under the law. Under the law, you couldn't eat anything you wanted to. And this is where right division comes in. You can't just take a verse and apply it to yourself and everybody else when it doesn't apply to you. You can eat shrimp today. Just give thanks for it. Just don't act like an animal and overeat. That's a tough one. I mean, have you ever had a dog that would keep eating as long as you kept feeding him? It's like you'd think he'd be full, but you throw him another piece of ham or turkey and he just eats it. One time my wife made some brownies and I threw out the full pan of brownies because they burnt. And the Winnie dog we used to have ate the whole pan of burnt brownies. And when I seen the dog, I thought my wife was going to kill me. I thought the dog was going to die. His stomach was huge and he kind of just wobbled in the house very slowly. And he just laid in the hallway for hours. You're the first people I've told about this. But I thought the dog was going to die. But don't be like that Winnie dog and just keep downing those brownies until you feel like you might die. It is easier said than done, I know. But once you start, you can't stop many times. But you can't just eat like an animal. I mean, you can eat. You can eat anything you want. You can eat shrimp, you can eat ham, sausage, it's all okay, just thank God for it, but just don't keep eating it over and over like an animal until you pass out. Once you start over after salvation, you need to quit living like an animal. Next, another thing you need to do after salvation is run from your cult. In Genesis 9:4 it says, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. There is something the Lord said not to eat, and that is blood. It was never okay to eat blood. Here, before the law, they are told not to eat blood. Under the law, in Leviticus 17:12, they are told not to eat blood. And after the law, in Acts 15:29, they are told not to eat blood. So do you know that the Catholic Church, the Catholic Church, teaches that during their communion, the wine literally turns into the blood of Jesus Christ. They supposedly turn it into that, which would be witchcraft if it really did turn into that. And the Catholic Church is nothing but a civilized-looking cult, and any saved person should run out of that cult when they get saved. Join up with other Bible believers. Don't stay a part of that Roman Catholic Church. You know, in Revelation, when he's talking about Babylon, the Lord says, "Come out from them, my people." You know, you don't want to stay in a cult after you get saved. There's all kinds of people in the Roman Catholic Church or in the Church of Christ, and they get truly born again, but yet they stay going there because their family keeps going there. But the Catholic Church, what they're doing is no different than people involved in the occult and other strange religions that drink blood of people and animals, because they literally believe that's turning into blood and body of the Lord. In Psalm 16:4, it says, "Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips." So there always have been people that drink blood. And it's been associated with witchcraft and the occult and ungodly, wicked religions. There is a picture of the singer Lady Gaga sitting with children and drinking blood. She has a cup, I believe, and she has blood around her mouth. She is nothing but someone who tries to look like a civilized heathen. There are men today who kill and drink the blood of people. They believe it gives them youth or demonic power. They strike terror in the victim as they kill them. So a certain thing is released in the blood. And they then drink the blood because they believe it gives them a fountain of youth. Whatever that thing is that's released in the blood during that time of terror, they drink it and they believe that that gives them more youth. I mean, this is a real thing. This is not a conspiracy. That's why Lady Gaga, and I'm not saying that she does this, that's why in the picture, she's drinking blood and she's got children next to her. Because that's what they use, is the children, when it comes to this. And if this wasn't a big thing, then why is it mentioned in the Bible so many times? Why is this one of the things that God told Noah to abstain from when he got off the ark, is don't drink blood? Well, he had just seen the giants get killed in the flood, which was probably had a lot to do with it. The giants probably drank blood. The sons of God were probably drinking blood when they came down. But whatever it is you're involved in when you get saved, whether it be Catholicism or some type of cult or just living for the flesh, you need to run from that. Quit painting the town red. This isn't to get saved or to stay saved or even to prove you're saved. But because you love God, you want to run from your cult. Join up with other Bible believers that are like-minded. You don't have to stay hanging around people that don't believe the Bible and that have nothing to do with your God. The Bible says bloody and deceitful men won't live out half their days. God is so fed up with people shedding innocent blood that one day he will make them drunk with their own blood. He turns the waters to blood in the tribulation as well in Revelation 16:6. The waters are turned to blood. And the tribulation, the Antichrist, and the people that follow him, they'll kill saints and they'll drink their blood. You see, this is always been a part of the occult and satanic religion. And when you get saved, you need to run from your cult. Next, you need to remember that life matters. In Genesis 9, 5, and 6, it says, "Surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man." So God is telling Noah that he is for capital punishment. When you kill another man, you ought to be killed. Paul also lets us know that capital punishment is also for today as well. In Romans 13:3, it says, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." Even though me and you are part of the kingdom of God, more so than we are citizens of the United States, even though we're members of the kingdom of God, we entered the kingdom of God when we believed the gospel, God still wants us to go by the laws of the land, as long as they don't go against his laws. And rulers, God has set up government. Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. I mean, think about it. Do you get pulled over for just driving down the road, going the speed limit? Do you get arrested for just going into the store and minding your own business? I mean, that happens sometimes, I'm sure. I know it does. But as a general rule, you're not going to get pulled over if you're abiding by the laws and the speed limit. You're not going to get taken to jail if you're not stealing and breaking in somebody's house. It's the people that break into people's houses, that go past the speed limit, that break into stores and steal stuff, that kill people. It's those people, for the most part, that are getting in trouble. Even in this wicked country that we're in, for the most part, still, that's who's getting in trouble, is the people that are doing evil. So rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. So he says, do that which is good. He's the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. You know, sometimes you're driving down the road and a cop gets behind you and you're like, oh no, and you get kind of afraid. Why would you be afraid if you're doing what you're supposed to do? Paul even said, referring to himself in Acts 25:11, "For if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die." So Paul, even in the New Testament, after the law, was still for capital punishment. And of course, under the law, if you kill someone, you would be put to death. In Exodus 21:12, "He that smiteth a man so that he die shall surely be put to death." This should remind you that everyone's life matters. This should remind you that babies' lives matter. Black babies' lives matter. You need to see everyone as a soul that will live forever somewhere. It doesn't matter the color of their skin at all. Everybody is equal in that sense. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. People have feelings. Other people besides yourself have things that they want. They have things they want to accomplish. The average person out there in this world means the world to somebody. You know that feeling you have for your child? Well, each person that you come in contact with has someone in their life that feels the same way about them as you do your child. So you need to treat that person like you would want everybody to treat your child, because that person is important to somebody. You never have a right to treat someone wrong. It doesn't matter what color their skin is. It doesn't matter where they're from. It doesn't matter what they've done. You never have a right to do someone dirty. You never have a right to kill somebody unless you're in the position of authority of performing the killing of a killer. You have no right to kill anybody. In Genesis 9:6, it says, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for the image of God made he man." Now, somebody says, well, I've been to war and I've killed people in war. That's not what this is talking about. Killing somebody in war is not killing somebody as in murdering somebody. This is talking about murdering somebody. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. From the image of God made he man. When God made Adam, he made him in the image of God. When Adam fell, he lost the image. So Seth was born in the image of Adam. In Genesis 5:3, and Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. So you don't get the image of God back until you get born again. Then you are in the image of God. Lost people aren't in the image of God, but their life matters to God. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Next, after your walk with God, realize what the rainbow is about. In Genesis 9:7, he says, and you be ye fruitful, and multiply, and bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. If Noah's sons decided to be sodomites, then the humans would have gone extinct. In Genesis 9:8-9, it says, and God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you. So this is the Noahic covenant. It is a mutual agreement. God wants to reason with you. He wants you to come at agreement with him that he will get rid of your sin if you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he's telling Noah here, he says in verse 10, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark, to every beast of the earth, and I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. Part of the covenant was that God wouldn't wipe out the population with a flood again. And of course, we know the next time it's going to be with fire at the second coming. And then after the millennium, he's going to burn everything up. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. And then he says in Genesis 9:12-13, and God said, this is the token of the covenant, which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. So the token is like a sign. In Genesis 17:11, God gave Abraham the sign of circumcision as the token of his covenant. In Exodus 12:13, the blood of the Passover lamb was a token. In Numbers 17:10, Aaron's rod is called a token. In Mark 14:44, Judas's kiss is called a token. The token between God and Noah was a rainbow. And after you get saved, you need to realize what that rainbow represents. It shows that God wasn't going to use a flood to wipe everything out again. It has absolutely nothing to do with homosexuality. In Genesis 9:14-17, it says, and it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, and the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. So this is an everlasting covenant. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant, which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. So when you get saved and you start over on your walk with God, you need to remember that God has standards. God has morals. He has laid out some things for you in the Bible to show you that they are wrong. And homosexuality is one of those things. The churches are accepting homosexuality. The Southern Baptist Convention is accepting homosexuality. It's not right. It was never right, and it will never be right. Don't grow soft on this sin just because you're seeing it everywhere. Remember what that rainbow represents. The devil has it for a counterfeit. He's using it the way he wants to right now. He made it about pride because Job 41:34 says he is king over all the children of pride. And what you can do is write out Pride Month on your notes on your phone or a piece of paper. Write both of the words together. And there's a word in the middle of Pride Month. And it's pretty creepy. You ought to do that. Write out Pride Month. Don't put a space in between the words. And look at the word that shows up in the middle. But next, after you get saved, be ye sober. In Ephesians 5:18, it says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And I keep feeling like I keep talking about alcohol a lot lately, but it just keeps coming up in questions and in the verse-by-verse stuff. Peter says in 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. So after you get saved, you need to be sober. Genesis 9:18 and 19 says, and the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. All your races come from these three men. Shem would represent the Asians. They would be the religious ones. Shem would be the Jew, who are also the religious ones. Ham will represent Africans. It says they will serve. Japheth represents the European. They would enlarge into other countries. And you see, a lot of people start feeling like kind of nervous when you start talking about this stuff because everybody's so worried about races. But you need to remember that God's not so concerned with that today. He's concerned with the individual. God comes to each individual and he wants you to be born again and you become part of the body of Christ. God's not dealing with so much nations today like he was in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, he was dealing with nations. Today, he's dealing with the individual, and it doesn't matter what the color of your skin is. You can be saved today. You can serve God. Doesn't matter if you're white, black, Asian, Hispanic. Does not matter. And the fact that these men represent certain races and they ended up being a certain way and doing a certain thing does not mean that you have to be a certain way and doing a certain thing just because you're a part of that race. So please don't think that this is racist. God's not racist. The fact that things turned out the way they did with certain races does not mean God's racist or that you are limited to being a certain way. But you see, in Genesis 9:25, Noah says, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. So Canaan comes from Ham, and the line of Ham gets cursed. And it says, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem. So Shem, representing like the Asians and the Jews, it says, blessed be the Lord God of Shem. There seems to be a special thing for Shem. And we know that the nation of Israel were God's chosen people. And he's going to restore them in the future. God's not done with Israel. It's, as it says in Romans 11:25, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. You know the verse. He says, be not ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. You know, see, there's a special thing for Shem and that line, the Jews. You know, and from Shem came Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, David, and then eventually the Lord Jesus Christ. When God came down in the flesh, he came through that line. And then it says in Genesis 9:27, God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. So by these three men was the whole earth overspread, and he wanted them to spread out. He didn't want them to get together and make one big government. And you'll see later that men do try to get together. Today, men are trying to get together. They want to say they all have the same God when they really don't. They want to get together despite their differences. But Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6:17, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." You'll see in chapter 11, they all get together to make a one world government. But the name Shem means renowned. And Jesus Christ came from the line of Shem. Shem wasn't the oldest, but he had a special blessing that the other three did not. Ham means burnt, black, or hot. And something significant is that he is the father of Canaan. In Genesis 10:6, it says, "And the sons of Ham, Cush and Mizraim and Phut and Canaan." So if Canaan is the youngest son of Ham, and Noah knows about Canaan, so perhaps the event that is about to take place in Genesis 9 took place sometime that's a good bit after the flood. Something else significant is Canaan is the father of the Canaanites, who were the enemies of Israel. But in Genesis 9:20, you're going to see this story where Noah and Ham have something going on, and Noah curses Canaan. So this shows most likely Canaan's been born. And if he was the youngest son of Ham, then this could have taken place a while after the flood. In Genesis 9:20 it says, "And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard." And this is why I'm getting back on topic here about be you sober. But a husbandman is a farmer. And I've never worked on a farm, but I've always thought it was crazy when people made fun of farmers. The man who replenished the earth was a farmer. He didn't have a Piggly Wiggly or a Food Line or a Save-A-Lot or a Walmart grocery. People make fun of farmers, but where do they think they get their food? They say, oh, well, the grocery store. I think they're forgetting something. How does the food get to the grocery store? Where does it come from? In Genesis 9:21, it says, "And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent." So bad things happen when men get drunk in the scriptures. And that is why Peter says, "Be ye therefore sober." Maybe Noah didn't understand the dangers of fermented grape juice at the time. Maybe the climatic changes after the flood caused something to happen to the grape juice that hadn't happened before. We may know for sure one day, but who knows if Noah really knew the dangers of what he was doing. But in Genesis 9:22 it says, "And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without." Looks innocent enough here. Noah forgot to put up the do not disturb sign. And Ham walks in and sees the nakedness of his father. Genesis 9:23, "And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness." So obviously, judging by this, it's not good for anyone other than your spouse to see your nakedness, even if they are of the same sex. Not to mention, Noah was like 600 years old right here. In Genesis 9:24, it says, "And Noah woke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him." So this is where you get the idea that the act of sodomy took place between Ham and Noah. Noah woke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. It says in verse 25, "And he said, Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." So Ham does something so bad that Noah curses his son and his line. Canaan gets the curse because the Lord had already blessed Ham back in Genesis 9:1. Ham affected his family because of the wickedness he committed. And this story is significant because it shows that the enemies of God, which were the Canaanites, started off with a wicked man, which is Ham. It says in verse 26 and 27, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Shem is religious. From him came Judaism and later Christianity. From Japheth comes cults like the Seventh-day Adventists, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and Mormons. And then from Ham came like Pentecostals. But the most religious is Shem. You know, the Asians, they have like Buddhism, things like that. In Genesis 9:28, and Noah lived after the flood 350 years. So Noah was 600 when he got off the ark. In Genesis 7:6, it says, and Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. So Noah was around 600 when he got off the ark, and he lived after the flood 350 years. And it says in Genesis 9:29, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. So Noah saw life before the flood 600 years, and 350 years after the flood. In Psalm 90 and verse 9, it says, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. I bet Noah had some tales. If he had an autobiography, it would be like a long series. They couldn't find enough candles for his birthday cake. I mean, this guy lived a long time. One of the only people that lived as long as him, or longer than him, was Methuselah, that lived to be 969. But those people lived a long time, and after the flood, you're going to see a decrease in people's lifespans because it must have had something to do with the climatic changes, and probably also that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. God probably given shorter lifespans because of sin. I mean, who wants to live in this vile body for 900 years anyway? But this has been a study on starting over after salvation. And if you're not saved, I hope that you would believe the gospel. The gospel is so simple. Paul gives it to us in 1 Corinthians 15. He says in 1 Corinthians 15:3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So if you will believe that gospel, you can be saved. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. That's why you need a Savior. That's why he had to die on the cross, because you are a sinner. Those sins separated you from God. And to get back with God, you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is plain. He died on the cross for our sins, shedding his blood. And in Romans 10:13, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe the gospel today before it's too late.